Are you thankful for the worldwide outreach of issues, etc.? Please consider making a special Thanksgiving gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 5 weeks left in 2014, we're a little more than $82,000 short of expenses. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
I never wanted any of this. I never wanted to be in the games. I just wanted to save my sister and keep Peeta alive.
It's every game. It's the things we love most that destroy us.
To lay down their weapons now.
You're alive.
Peeta is the Capitol's weapon, the same way you're ours.
You will rescue Peeta at the earliest opportunity, or you will find another Mockingjay.
There is a trailer from the latest blockbuster in the Hunger Games series, Mockingjay Part 1. We're going to be reviewing that particular movie, making a lot of money since it opened, with Pastor Ted Giese on this Thursday afternoon, this Thanksgiving Day, November the 27th. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We're going to have to go over a little bit of the plot and kind of the context of this, but before we do that, you say that this latest installment in the Hunger Games series is different from the previous movies. How so?
Well, one major thing is that there is actually no Hunger Game in this movie. So, like, each of the other movies had, like, the Hunger Game element of the film itself. This movie has, well, the game is kind of, I'll use air quotes, the game is now played outside of the arena, and the stakes are much higher. Before, in the arena, people would die, but now there's a likelihood and a great possibility that lots of other people could die. So everything, the ante has been upped. The other thing is the movie just doesn't have the flashy dresses and opulent costumes and things that the previous movies had. In fact, most of it doesn't take place in the Capitol district, which is where most of the resources are.
So bring us up to date with this. For someone who has not read the books or seen the movies previously, what's the world that these characters inhabit? What's the scenario, the basic dilemma of this civilization?
It's a dystopia. It's a kind of a futuristic, apocalyptic, kind of post-apocalyptic world, where society and the humanity has fallen completely apart. And what's left in North America, that kind of geographical region, is a small group of people, and you've got 13 districts, each providing a different kind of goods and commerce towards the Capital District, which in the center kind of provides, I don't know, some kind of federal government kind of a thing. But all of the other districts are kind of put down upon. And there was an uprising at some point in the distant past where the 13th district tried to take over or stop the central district. That was put down, and after that point, every year, the districts would have to provide tribute to the central district, capital district, rather, in the form of two young people. And those young people would have to fight in an arena to the death. And the winner would receive a chance to live in luxury and not have to be hungry ever again because they would have food, hence the Hunger Games. The first film, you have a person who volunteers, Katniss Everdeen, in place of her little sister, and like we heard in the trailer, she just wanted to save her sister and then keep this other fellow, PETA, from her district alive. And that's kind of how things went. She, of course, became a media darling because this whole thing is also kind of has a reality TV kind of slant to it, too. The games are kind of televised, and people watch them for entertainment purposes as well. And by the end, the close of the last movie, she's becoming this larger-than-life character in the minds of the people in all the districts.
So we've talked about what was different. What is the general theme here? What's the problem in this world? And what is, at least in the course of the story told so far up to this movie, what's the solution?
The problem seems to be oppression. They have a government that is oppressing them. The main problem, I guess, on top of all of that is that there's nothing to keep that government in check. There are no other governments like it. There are no peers that could try to rein in or stop the president that they have, this President Snow, from doing the things that he does. And it puts the people in a kind of a bad position where they could rebel against that government. And that is the great temptation that they all face and the great challenge, I guess, within the film, within these movies that they're trying to deal with. So quite a bit different than our modern world where there are checks and balances and there are peer countries that could help and step in. You don't get that in this particular franchise. So that's kind of the problem, is that there's all these people who are oppressed, and they're being used for their resources, and the capital district is keeping all those resources for themselves to live in luxury.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 on this Thursday afternoon, Thanksgiving Day, November the 27th. When we come back, we'll talk about the theme of self-sacrifice in these movies. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lunchforthebunch.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, let's talk a little bit about some of the themes here that kind of run through all of these stories and kind of bring us up to date without too many spoilers where this story brings the main characters. Self-sacrifice is obviously one of the big themes here, where the main character, Katniss, is willing to – she's willing to die to save a family member. Has it expanded beyond that by this time in the story?
Yeah, well, she has to decide how she's going to be part of something bigger than that. Like you said, it did start off with her just wanting to save her sister, and then her friend, and then at the end of the last film, her district was brutally attacked and by the Capitol district. So she's kind of found herself now, Katniss, in this bigger story that's going on. There's this, rebellion that's afoot, this rebel group in District 13 who are trying now again to overthrow the Capitol district and its President Snow. So she needs to figure out how she fits in that. And what they would like her to do is to be the face of the revolution. By doing that, then she would, in theory, inspire others towards a revolution as well.
Does this have some resonance with Christian listeners, Christian viewers who have been watching these stories and noticing some of those themes that may kind of vaguely parallel Christian themes?
I think so. I mean, like, that part of it is very positive, the idea of being willing to put yourself ahead of others, even to the point of death. That's a very positive thing. I think the movie has maybe some more complicated and complex issues in it, because in this particular case, she's becoming this tool of propaganda, and she's a person who's now inspiring people towards going out and doing acts of sabotage and things like that, which is very different from what we experience as Christians. I mean, when we pick up our cross to follow Christ, we aren't doing it in order to overturn a government. So that's kind of a really different thing for the Christian viewer watching this. In fact, you know, when you think of Christian history, like the early church amidst the Roman government of the time, they weren't, by following Christ, being encouraged to overthrow the Roman government by means of sabotage or physical conflict. So that's a little different in the course of watching this movie, that, you know, Christians might find the whole propaganda angle a little bit disconcerting, because really in our modern culture, in our modern day right now, the groups that are using a lot of propaganda in order to gain members that could go and do acts of sabotage or, you know, violence towards people, that's more like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and things of that nature. So that's very an unusual element of the movie, and it's definitely something that Christian viewers watching the movie, or anybody really, Christian or not, will have to kind of think about that in terms of the propaganda angle within the movie.
Does it raise the question of the ends justifying the means?
I think it does. This is one of these do you fight fire with fire kind of a situation. It asks that question. And it's, you know, within the context of the film, like I said, there is no check and balance on the government within the context of that film. There's no other country. There's no other presidents or people around. So that's a problem. And this District 13 has a president named President Coyne, and that president is kind of setting themselves up as the alternative in a way, played by Julianna Moore. But again, you're left questioning whether or not that president is going to be any better than President Snow, played by Donald Sutherland. So it is an interesting movie in that regard, to be thinking about those things. Because it's the first half of a book, it's really kind of the build-up to the conclusion of the story. And I haven't read the book, so I don't know how it's all going to come to a conclusion. But that's the first part, is all this kind of a propaganda war. And I'm assuming the second part of the book is going to be the action-packed war part of the war that we'll see in the next installment that comes out next November.
You say that there's a kind of a lingering question here about kind of, is after a revolution or an overthrow, is the new situation going to necessarily be any better than the older one that was overthrown? How would you put that?
You know, that's a good question, and it's one that came up to me while I was watching the movie, because Katniss is a reluctant part of this. She's not interested at first in being this face of the revolution, and she comes with a set of demands. She wants a couple things in exchange for being a part of all of this, and this president Coyne says, well, you know, we'll take that up with our, you know, committee, and we'll do this, because they've got kind of a way of doing things, right? And then she gets urged by somebody who's helping her, this Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, Plutarch, to just give in, because this is more important than your committee. So here's this presumably going to be the good new president, potentially, already listening and bowing to, you know, voices that are outside of the planned way of running things. So she could turn out to be just as corrupt, potentially, as President Snow. Who knows? These are the thoughts that kind of pop into your head when you're watching the movie.
With only about 30 seconds here, you reference a Bible passage, innocent as doves, as wise as serpents. Is that a kind of a general resonance with the movie as you observe it? About 30 seconds.
Yeah. When you're watching the movie, sometimes, like any movie, sometimes Bible passages pop in your head. And in that particular case, to be as wise as serpents, the villain, President Snow, is literally described as a snake and uses poison to kill people, and is a liar and a murderer. So to be as wise as serpents and then as innocent as doves, being willing to put yourself forward, that self-sacrifice in the case of danger. All of that kind of comes together in the movie, and I talk a little bit more about it in the review. But in the Concordia Commentary series on Matthew, Gibbs has this little sentence, which is good, about that. He says, even as the disciples are to exercise wisdom and caution in their missionary endeavors, there will be times when they must willingly be exposed to danger for the sake of the gospel proclamation, as innocent and helpless as doves. So Katniss is making herself open to possible danger by being involved in this, but is tackling with a very real enemy in the case of this President Snow, which is, he's painted as a demonic character practically.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. You can read his review of Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
In the next hour on this Thanksgiving Day, we're going to study the hymn of praise, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. It's a great Thanksgiving hymn. Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in just 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.